Well, hello today. Steve Reeve here of Mixed Mornings with Steve and Elizabeth. If you happen to miss the shows throughout the week, we are going to recap the very, very best of the best every week right here on the Mixed Mornings and More podcast. Get every single daily catch up, get all of our bits and material and all the funnies in between, and you could even be a part of the show, of the podcast. Give us a call any weekday morning, 780-791-1037. Tell us what's on your mind.
It took a long time and a lot of work, but we found the funniest moments from last week's Mixed Morning Show.
After talking about it for so long, the day is finally here.
It's 10 years of Mix 103.7. another big thing to celebrate too, whether it's the 10th anniversary or not. I mean, we moved locations last year. Mm-hmm. Now we've well set up in our new spot and we have logos outside.
We now have signs.
It's crazy.
Props to the two gentlemen who were putting them up on Friday in the bitter cold.
It was so cold. I left to go and wash the vehicle to get it all shiny and ready for the 10th anniversary celebrations. Couldn't see anything in the car wash. It was so cold outside that inside it was just like a steam room. Like you couldn't see from one bay to the next one. And then I come back out and I'm like, what? Where did those come from?
We have signs now.
What's happening? And yeah, they were done one and they were just doing the other one. And kind of cool. Although from the backside, looking in out the windows here, it's just like, it's metal. It's tin. Okay. Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. But then on the other side, it's exciting. It's a logo. We're here. So if anybody has been confused about where to go to pick up prizes,
you now know where we are. It's two big logos. You can't miss them.
Mix Mornings. It's boggling my mind. I can't even believe that it actually has been
10 years, man. 10. 10. 10 years. 10 years. 10. 10 years. 10 years.
I just love that. Jeremy Piven quotes aside, it has been 10 years, and that's longer than any relationship I've ever been in. That's longer than like any one section of school is. Like grade school is not 10 years. High school is not 10 years. Anything after that. All collected, sure. Sure, you're looking at more than a decade, but like this is a big deal.
2008, a different world.
It really was. Today. That was soon after Britney Spears had her freak out.
Yeah.
That was...
I was just graduating high school.
I mean, it's just wild to think about what was going on 10 years ago compared to what was going on now. I mean, we used to say things were tumultuous, things were crazy, things were happening in 2008, and little did we know that things were humdrum, things were calm, things were normal then.
Compared to today's world, absolutely.
It used to be a simpler time, and now it's not, but at least we got today's best music. Oh, that's so cheesy. But seriously, stay tuned because, I mean, we've been teasing it up all year long. I realize that's only been like 2 weeks, but all year long we've been freaking out about this day. Today, it's January 15th. In less than an hour's time, you're going to find out something big that we've had to keep close to the chest for way too long now, and it has implications for the rest of 2018, for the rest of our 10th year. It's a big deal. The leader of a British political party is in an awkward position after his girlfriend sent some racist text messages about Meghan Markle.
Girl's gonna be careful though, because Meghan is this close to officially being in the royal family, and then she can have that bee disappeared.
Yeah, just poof, gone.
And just because you need to know about their lives, there's a bump in the road for the reunion of Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, and it's Selena's mom.
She's apparently not happy about the entire situation. She hasn't spoken to Justin in years. It's weird that her mama don't like him though, because she likes everyone.
It's his mom.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that song was about Selena Gomez, I'm pretty sure. Ooh, awkward. Awkward. And in pressing news, it's Mix 103.7's 10th anniversary today.
Ooh, shameless plug, but the big announcement is now just a couple minutes away.
So don't go anywhere, and don't forget you can catch your catch up just before 7 o'clock every weekday morning. Feeling a little nostalgic, Lil. Feeling a little bit sad here. Feeling a little bit great, actually. There's so many memories over the last 10 years, but only more memories to be made, especially with these 10 experiences that we are giving out all year long.
Yes, so if you did miss the announcement at 7:10, we are the first of 10 experiences is Pink in Vegas. So we are sending you and a friend to go see Pink in Las Vegas from May 24th to 27th. That includes your flight, hotel, and then, of course, tickets to the show.
Entering people online and then reverse draw for all the qualifiers at Moxie's.
Mm-hmm. So we have been playing our Mixed Heritage Minutes for most of 2018. And we are going to hear from some of our former colleagues who kicked off Mix 103.7 10 years ago. So here is Tyron Alt.
One time mix announcer and one time city councilor. No big deal.
So I was working at a radio station in Whiteport, which actually was a brand new radio station down there too. So I got spoiled in launching two stations in less than a year. But being a Fort McMurray kid, I found out these licenses were being granted to Fort Mac and applied. Had an interview with Craig Picton, who ended up being my co-host in the afternoon and now a GM over there. And the rest was history. Came up back to Fort McMurray in October that year and super excited to launch a brand new station in my hometown.
And take us to the very first day when the microphone went red. What was that moment like for yourself and your coworkers at the time?
It was a really cool feeling, especially because we had a lot of hardships leading up. We actually tried launching in December and got shut down by, I think it was CRTC, because we were interfering with air traffic control or something like that.
No big deal.
To have the second launch that actually was successful was really cool. And there was a really great advertising campaign called Reset Your Presets, I remember, where like the little dividers at the grocery stores had Mix's logo on it and things like that to start spreading news. So it was really cool and really exciting. So I was dual news announcer, reporter / afternoon co-host. Me and Craig did the afternoon show when we had two people on the air, kind of similar to how the mornings work now.
Yeah.
So it was a busy time doing both at that time.
What was the response like from the community when you guys launched?
It was overwhelmingly positive. The great thing about Facebook memories now is you kind of see people posting those posts from 9-10 years ago as the years tick by, and just getting to relive that excitement of having a new station and a few new stations in the community at that time. After so long, it was great to have some variety and great to have some additional news coverage. I think we brought a really high level of news coverage at the time. That was really something that I think we're all proud of.
The best of the Mix Morning Show on today's best music. Mix 103.7.
It's all about the nostalgia today.
So we heard from one of the very first employees here at Mix 103.7, Tyron Ault, earlier this half hour. Now we have another one, Nolan Hockness.
Still in the community over there at the Northern Lights Health Foundation. And this is what he had to say about the beginning times.
Once the test signal went out, like, our phones were off the hook. Like, we had a test signal, and we had, if you're interested in advertising on Mix 103 points, our phones didn't stop ringing from, like, the time the test signal went till the time we launched. Me and Jason Hushy, we were kind of like meeting bookers and order takers. Like, people just wanted to advertise right away. It was really, really cool, and you knew that we were on to something, right, as far as like the niche format.
What was the atmosphere in the station like when the first song played out on the airwaves and not a test?
Yeah, the montage played, and you just kind of got chills. Right, you knew it was the second time that I had been a part of a station launch. Me and Craig had been a part of a station launch back in Estevan, right? So it was the second time that I got a chance to experience that. But this time just seemed a little more important, right? Because you're providing something that the city really, really wanted and needed, and it was such a positive experience. And we were all working like dogs, like we were all doing 12-hour days. Some of us probably even more than that. I say we had six of us that came over to launch the station, right? So there was kind of that us against the world mentality, right? And it's really powerful. Like, that's why every sports psychologist talks about that, right? And it really did. We were a small, tight-knit group that constantly worked together. And you kind of, when you hear all that hard work coming out over to the airwaves to everybody in Fort McMurray to hear, it was pretty special. And it's still, I'll be proud of being a part of that original team forever.
Mix Mornings with Steve and Elizabeth, and
we have the very first morning show host of Mix 103.7 on the line, Nick Sawicki. Good morning to you, sir.
Oh, good morning to you guys as well. Greetings from Ontario. And I saw your Facebook video earlier this morning. Am I allowed to, now that I'm no longer an employee, can I win a trip to Vegas to see things? That's awesome.
As long as you're at Moxie's for our party.
We'll book the flight.
There you go.
So it's been 10 whole years since you first took the airwaves. What can you imagine? Can you believe it? It's been 10, a whole decade.
Time flies, as they obviously say. I just want to say shout out to Craig Picton, who's really happy about his Vikings yesterday. That was just an absolute crazy. Craig, of course, was my boss, the guy that hired me at Mix 103.7, and that was in October of 2007, and then obviously in January we launched. But there was, I guess, a few weeks leading up to the official launch in January that we thought we were going to be launching. I remember in December of 2007, I think we got word that, oh, we're allowed to, you know, officially go on air tomorrow. And then, you know, a few hours later after that, it was like, oh, nope, we got to wait for somebody at the CRTC to sign something. Got to wait until January. So that was... I can't believe it's been more than a decade now. It's absolutely insane.
And there's been some crazy events, crazy memories, crazy contests all in those years since then. One thing that sticks out in my mind that I remember, because I think it was first week that I'd started when I was doing the evening show, which meant that I was the last guy in the show, in the studio, and then you were the first person in the studio the next day. And I was totally like, I was just like, I don't know how things are done here. I'm still learning. It's my first job out of school. I'm just going to leave things as I find them. And I remember one day you growl at me. You're like, can you just stop leaving the studio such a mess? Like, it's always just such a garbage mess. Every time I walk in here and I'm like, I'm just leaving it like the guy behind me is doing it. And then you're like, you mean like your boss, Craig? And I'm like, no, I guess I don't mean that. I'll clean it up. Sorry, sir. Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry for being a jerk.
Hey, it was valid, man. I needed to learn. I needed to get those ropes, right? Like, I appreciate it. 10 years later.
Like your mother.
I'm thankful. Well, you know what, Nick? Hopefully we'll be able to keep you on the line for a little bit longer here throughout the hour here, but we thought it would be only fitting if you were the person, since you were the first morning show host, the first person to throw to a song on Mix 103.7, if you threw to the next one.
Well, it is Maroon 5 and SZA. It's today's best music, Mix 103.7. I hope I said that right.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's perfect, Nick. All right, stay on the line, man.
I see you guys have a big mix experience that you guys announced earlier, Pink in Las Vegas. That's... sounds like it's going to be an awesome trip for whoever wins it, that's
oh,
for sure.
Yeah, it's one we are trying to weasel our way into being chaperones for.
We have 10 experiences. We're hoping to be a part of one
at
somehow.
At least one. Come on. Yeah. Come on. But actually, that's pretty similar to one of the contests that happened early on in Mix's history, in that it was also sending people to see a concert in Las Vegas. You remember?
Yeah, 2009, we sent somebody to see Britney Spears in Las Vegas at the MGM, I think it was. And I had already booked my vacation to coincidentally be in Las Vegas, like, shortly before the concert was actually taking place or whatever. So, long story short, I got comped at the MGM for, like, two nights, and me and my buddy Ian, we got comped everything, at the restaurants, the clubs, the rooms. It was a magical time, let me tell you. And thankfully, there's some pictures that made it out of Las Vegas, but of course, what happens there, not all of it actually returns home with you, which is good news as well.
Yeah, it's convenient. Any recommendations for those who are going to be winning our contest coming up here? Any hot spots? Any things to watch out for in Las Vegas?
Well, you know what? I've had I've been there twice myself, and both times I ended up gambling at the Bellagio. So it's been good luck for me gambling there. And also, don't worry if you spill your drink on a blackjack table at the Bellagio. The other players at the table will be mad at you, but the dealer will not be. And he happens to have a hairdryer underneath his table, and he'll just plug it in and then and start. It was a true story, and that I didn't get kicked out. It was awesome.
This false missile launch alert, it terrified the tourists and the locals in Hawaii, and it took a total of 38 minutes to be retracted, according to a new timeline of events.
And while the alert wasn't real, the excess of soiled underwear and lineups at laundromats were very real. Grave new meaning to the term logjam.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal.
Gamers are going to get ripped if the new trend of virtual reality gyms takes off. The idea is just as simple as it sounds. You work out wearing a VR headset inside a game world.
Of course, with a VR headset on, you can look like anything or anyone that you want without having to work out. So maybe this trend isn't really going to catch on. Maybe that's dead in the water. The promotional junket for his new film is on. Liam Neeson has been defending Dustin Hoffman against sexual assault allegations, and he called the Me Too movement a bit of a witch hunt.
You know, like that period of time where a woman speaking freely and owning her expression of sexuality could get her burned at the stake. Calling out people for sexual assault is just like that, Liam.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, basically.
I just think you could be sleeping. The greatest moments from last week's morning show on Mix 103.7.
A very small world this morning. This you were telling me about this yesterday, and I was just not registering because I'm like, this is not possible.
It's such a small world. So on Sunday night, my cousin who lives in England messaged me, and she's like, "Hey, my," and she sent me a BBC article link, and she's like, "Hey, my really good friend, her son found a message in a bottle." And the message was written by a Fort McMurray girl.
Yeah. And from Fort McMurray, sent out from Newfoundland.
Yeah. And my cousin's friend found the message in the bottle. And it was found like where I used to live in England, like on the beach, like 10 minutes away from where I used to live in England. It's so weird.
There's no way to calculate the chances of that. It's ridiculous. And apparently the Fort McMurray girl whose bottle was found, apparently she put out 3 bottles and 2 of them have been found.
Yeah, I spoke to her because the girl who put the bottles in when she was visiting her grandparents in Newfoundland over the summer, she put
10-year-old
out 3.
Jackie.
Yep. Yeah, put out 3 bottles and 2 of them have been found, and they were found like roughly 10 miles or less apart a day after one another by 2 different sets of families.
That's crazy.
And so they got emails being like, so basically in the letter it just said, "This is my name, I'm 10 years old, I live in Fort McMurray, Alberta, I'm visiting my grandparents in Newfoundland. If you find this letter, this bottle," and it has the contact information. So they've been contacted by these families, and now they say they're a pen pal for life.
How can you not just keep in touch forever? Like, this is a crazy connection between different parts of the world. I used to, as
but
a kid...
6 months, that's so quick, too.
It is.
To get from Newfoundland to the UK. It's about 3,500 kilometers. I looked it up.
It's insane.
But
for them both to land 10 miles from each other?
Right,
like,
what are the chances? And she put them in different parts. Where, like, it wasn't just they set 3 all at the same time. It was, like, different parts around
that's
Newfoundland.
It gets crazy and crazy. I used to read books as a kid, pirate books like Treasure Island and stuff, where they talk about this kind of thing, and I thought, well, that's, even as a kid I was like, okay, yeah, but you can't just put a bottle out into the ocean and have somebody actually find it. Something's gonna happen. It's just gonna end up stuck in the ocean, or cork's gonna pop out of it, it's gonna sink.
Yeah.
It's never gonna see that ever again. It's just a thing of fiction. Apparently I'm way wrong.
And then for like really my happens. Cousin's friend to find it on a beach close to where I used to live in England.
I know.
And it's from a Fort McMurray girl. What are the odds?
Within like a year and a bit of you moving here.
Yeah.
It's insane to me. I just can't. Somebody's got to get a lottery ticket. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm hoping it turns out this video that's now starting to go viral is a bit of a troll, but apparently a man named Nathan put out a video as a guide to using your teeth to chop your vegetables instead of knives and utensils, and that's how you're supposed to cook your food now in 2018.
Really, really small pieces is key, so that it cooks quite nicely when it goes in.
Yep. Really small, bite-sized pieces.
Oh, she does that with a lemon. She just bit right into that lemon.
This woman's crazy, and there's all kinds of spit going on.
It's kind of like a bird.
It's, yeah.
Birds eat their food and then give it to their young.
At least birds, like, at least do the swallowing part of it, though. I mean, yes, it comes back up, but at least they did. Like, they're not even, I mean, if you're chewing your food, if you're at the point where you've chewed it, just finish, swallow, you're done, you're eating. You have eaten your food. It might be raw.
Yeah, but she wants to cook it.
But
she
it's
wants
done.
It a little softer, a little more cooked. You know what? I think I've, like, probably done this like once or twice. Like, obviously I use a knife, but sometimes I'm eating something and then it just, I don't know.
You mean in a pinch? You're just like, that knife's dirty.
That's how you speed up the cooking process, is you cut and chew your food at the same time and then just spit it in there.
You don't need to chew it as much later.
It's such a tedious task, chopping all the veggies, so just, you got 2 going at the same time. Hands and mouth.
Gotta get those carrots down to size, huh?
This is why I'm such a great cook.
Yeah.
Cooking with Elizabeth 101.
I am never eating at your place. We got to talk about this. Not only did Hawaii have nearly 40 minutes of a terror-filled time thinking that missiles were coming for them, apparently the citizens of Japan just went through something similar.
Yeah, their Japan state broadcaster accidentally released a similar missile threat, and minutes later, not as long, it was not 38 minutes like Hawaii, but minutes later it was deleted and they apologized on air a couple times being like, this was a mistake, yada yada yada. Who is testing these?
And I know
that's the
I just feel
what's
like
happening?
there's people that are just like, we should make sure these systems work, and then like somebody who's never used the system's like, hey, I'll see if I can just I'll type one up, maybe this will work, hit enter, and then they're like, oh wait, I think we actually just sent that out there. Oops. Disengage the system if you're testing it.
It takes me longer. Like, I have to press more buttons, like microwave my food, than it seems that people have to send out one of these very serious messages.
This is unreal.
There should be backup codes for that. Even if you're posting something on Facebook, they're like, are you really sure you want to post that? I'm like, maybe I don't. Let me think about this for a second. And that's what should happen with this.
Somebody needs to get the drunk texting discipline or whatever. Yeah. Whatever's keeping you from sending those messages to the ex on the late night.
Yeah.
Get that in your brain and don't send out missiles are coming for us messages. Please.
It's not funny.
Please.
Scary. So, well, yeah, there should be bigger security protocols in place than just hit send. And there it is for the world to terrify.
What? Where? When? What is? We even is 2018 so far. We're not even a month in, and it just feels like a bizarre
16 days in.
What would you do with 30 minutes, 38 minutes left?
I would think I'd cower for like the first five in panic. I think I would like to think that I am a very strong person, but I've never been tested in a situation like that, thank goodness. So
no kidding.
I think I would collapse for a moment, and then I would grab a bottle of not water and drink it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is that gonna just
hold it
just for just exercise
rock it.
Just for the
back and forth. My sweet child,
my baby, we had such a good life together.
Still so much food left over from our open house, and I don't know if I can possibly eat another chicken wing.
I don't know if I can eat any more cake
the next month.
I'm caked out. I had cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner yesterday. Not exclusively, but there was a portion of the meal that was cake-based, thanks to our 10th anniversary. I'm dying.
I don't know if I reached a new low yesterday, or it was just super inventive. Well, not really inventive, but there's so much sauce left over as well. And they said, if it doesn't get used, it's going to go to waste. And I'm like, whoa, can't have that happen.
No.
So no. We have leftover coffee cups. So I took them, a ton of them, and just loaded them all up.
Like the paper cups?
Yep.
Just sauced them?
Yep.
That's hilarious.
With sauce. And people are like, where are you going with all these coffees? It's not. Just taking a lot of sauce home.
Well, it's
and many Tupperware containers of chicken wings still
waste
in my fridge.
Waste not, want not. My favorite thing was that your roommate was scarfing some food into a container to take home.
Uh-huh.
And she referred to it as her Tupperware. She said, I'm putting this in my Tupperware that I brought from home. And it's a Boston Pizza takeaway container. I'm like, this is not Tupperware.
that is our Tupperware in our house. That is what we use.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Waste not, want not. I mean, you guys have it nailed
down.
We're
very thrifty.
Yeah.
The funniest moments from last week's Mix Morning Show on today's best music. Mix 103.7.
Would you press the button to be able to read people's minds, but every time you use that power, you accidentally blurt out an embarrassing secret of your own?
No.
No.
I don't want to know what people are thinking.
No.
About me, about anything. I think it would just be soul crushing, probably.
it's like that's people's, you can't get more private than your thoughts. Your thoughts that don't get turned into words and said out loud. Like everybody's got weird thoughts. Everybody's got like, you know, your brain just does things on its own. But to be able to read those.
Yeah. I don't want people to know what is think going up in my brain, because it's weird. And sometimes I just think of random things or just look at someone. I'm like, eh.
I know. And then you don't say it out loud, but you're like, there's like that moment where you just get judgmental for no good reason. Could be just you haven't had your lunch yet or something like that. You're like, oh, God, that
coffee.
Person.
Yeah.
And they're reading your mind going like, oh, God, nobody likes me. Yeah. No, I feel like I'm so paranoid. I just feel like everybody around me doesn't like me.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of people already have anxiety and paranoia issues. Like this would just elevate that
this
so much more. Everybody
worst.
Would just like be holding stress balls 24/7.
While we're warming up for a spell in Fort McMurray, parts of Russia saw near record-breaking temperatures of minus 67 degrees. Schools weren't just closed. The police actually ordered parents to keep students home for the day.
Just to walk out to the mailbox, but have you looking like Counselor Filmar after an all-day cross-country ski session?
You've seen seen the photos.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the photos.
Frosty beard.
And
frosty
that orange
eyelashes.
Lid.
Saudi Arabia recently lifted a 35-year-old ban on cinema and commercial theaters. While the ban was lifted in December, the first public screenings just occurred, and the first movie projected for the masses was the Emoji Movie.
Saudi Arabia then banned cinema for another 37 years. Just blanket, just done.
Yeah, they're like, this isn't worth it.
This is what we've been missing for decades? Well, never mind. Here in Canada, an explorer has just discovered a cave near Fernie, BC that could be the deepest one in the entire country.
Stay tuned for the catch-up tomorrow when we tell you about how that explorer and his team were eaten by creepy blind cave people creatures.
I've seen that movie. It doesn't end well for anybody.
Is it actually a movie?
The Descent. Yeah, there's a movie about that.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
think it's in Canada, but still, it's creepy. Scary stuff. That is your daily catch-up. Now, I didn't grow up on farmland, but I felt like we had a menagerie of animals when I was growing up. We had a big house and lots of different critters, and I remember this. I had a weird mental flashback today because I saw somebody on the internet talking about a similar behavior in their dog. I had a cat who, we had three different doors that the cat would meow at to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And every winter, the cat would circle from one door to the next and being like, meow.
Let
like,
me
you
in.
Open the door. Well, no, let me out.
Oh.
And it's like, but this is the wrong door. Like, you opened the door to winter. Where's the door to summer? Like, they'd be like, why have you done this to me, human? You are betraying me. I want to go catch birds and I want to go chase bugs and lie in the sunshine and roll in the dirt. Can't do that in the summer, in the wintertime whatsoever.
Every time it snows for the first time of the season, I always think what's going through my dog's head, because she's not very intelligent to begin with. So I'm like, does she know what this white stuff is?
It's
does she
fun.
Know why it's gone, or if we have like a mild spell and then it
yeah.
all goes?
And then it comes back again?
Yeah.
Is it like if it melts and then comes back before the season actually changes, is she just bewildered all over again?
Yeah, I don't know. See, before we were talking about if we could read human minds.
Yeah.
I would like to use that power to read animals' minds and dogs' minds. That's what I'd use that power
for. It just reminds me of that commercial where the guy gets his wish to be able to talk to animals. And he's just like, hey, bud, what's on your mind? And the dog's just like, sausages, 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 just over and over and over again. And you're like, well, okay, yeah, careful what you wish for. The prevailing theory on the internet is that because the Instagram account for the Jonas Brothers was just reactivated, that can only mean one conclusion. The Jonas Brothers themselves are reuniting.
People are freaking out.
Yeah.
They seem really pumped about this. I don't know if I know one Jonas Brothers song. That was never my thing.
It's funny because my brain immediately went to Cake by the Ocean, which is DNCE featuring one of the Jonas. You're
yeah.
right. You're right. I'm like, huh. Because it's been so long. I mean, I think 2013 is when they broke up. It's 5 years ago.
Maybe they're just waiting for One Direction. I mean, they've been split for a while, but
it's true. At least for that like wave of
they
like,
were super popular. So I don't think the Jonas Brothers would be as popular as One Direction. So
no.
Now that the One Direction people are out of the picture,
yeah. And not
these
only
guys are
did
coming back.
The group have to fade out, but now it's like kind of like the members are a little bit more obscure now of One Direction because they all did the Jonas Brothers thing. They split up, did their solo thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the internet is freaking out about this. People are having all kinds of feels. They're saying it's 2008 all over again because Zac Efron's in a musical and Miley's talking about Hannah Montana, and the Jonas Brothers might, there's no official word yet, might be reuniting. That's right. Nick, Joe, and the other one.
Kevin.
Right.
Just like a fine wine or George Clooney, the Mixed Morning Show gets better with time. More from last week's show coming up.
I wanted to know who you'd like to see reunite. Although, let's restrict it. That's a huge question. Let's restrict it to like pop groups.
Yeah, Spice Girls is number one for me.
Yeah, that would have been, even if we hadn't restricted it, that's number one.
Yeah.
number one across the board.
That's a huge part of my childhood. And
none of this gem business. Talking all five members.
Yeah, we need, even Posh, we need her back in the group.
Yeah, she doesn't have to sing. She
tour.
Never did anyway,
yeah,
but she
exactly,
has to be there.
Exactly. Also, Aqua.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Would love to see them.
Yeah, 1995
yeah.
called Wants Aqua Back.
Big part of my childhood. Also, S Club 7, which I just
yeah.
Googled. And one of the members of S Club 7, as of 4 hours ago, just sold his Brit Award for £66,000.
Oh, no. I hope that's not the one that also was having the like drug problems after the group broke
I don't
up.
No, hopefully he's not
he's
trying to
paying
fund
some legal
it.
Bills.
Yeah.
Or, oh, geez, I wasn't even thinking. Maybe he's funding the habit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even more dark. Yeah, but all seven members, Joe, Paul, Rachel, Hannah, Chris. No, I don't think there was a Chris. Almost had it.
Wow, well done. Almost That's more than
it.
I know.
Almost had it. Apparently today, I had no idea. I'm learning this thanks to you. This is Ditch New Year's Resolution Day, and it's not just a random thing. It's January 17th is Ditch Your New Year's Resolutions Day. I guess.
Just a couple days after Blue Monday when you realize life is over, can't do anything anyway, let's just throw all our resolutions out the window.
When it all falls apart. That's what I thought at first, too. I thought it was just like, oh, you failed at your resolutions, why don't you just forget about them? Apparently, that's not it. It's more like you realize after about 2 weeks into the year that your resolutions aren't really doing anything for you and that a New Year's resolution doesn't count for the entire year. So you gotta, you know, maybe if you want to better your lifestyle, actually make lifestyle choice changes, I guess.
No, we're really not giving ourselves enough time. 2 weeks? What do you expect to change in 2 weeks?
Exactly. That's the whole point, though. Don't just resolve to do stuff in January. Do it all year long. Mm. That's the point. I guess that's what I'm getting from this. Ultimately, I'm not very familiar with it. I just kind of figured I wouldn't make any New Year's resolutions, and now I don't have any to ditch.
So, task done for the day.
Oh, perfect.
You're already two steps ahead.
Beautiful. In a surprising move yesterday, the rival nations of North and South Korea announced that they would be competing with a unified Olympic team at the Pyeongchang Games.
Which is either a rare moment of peace and understanding after 50 years of needing a demilitarized zone, or one of the Koreas actually did their homework, and the other one just wants to copy and coast.
Happened to me all the time in high school, so I mean, I know exactly what's going on here.
There's buzz about Ellen Pompeo's refresh contract for Grey's Anatomy. She's earning around $20 million a year, making her the highest paid actress on a primetime drama.
Which, I mean, sounds great until you find out that they're paying her in the equivalent of bitcoins, so that's just not going to last.
The stock is rising right now.
Yeah. And British Airways had a would-be passenger arrested for wearing 10 shirts, 8 pairs of pants, and a couple of sweaters in an apparent attempt to skip the $125 baggage fee.
Which admittedly would have been a bit unnerving to see on an international flight, unless you've seen that episode of Friends, of course, where Joey steals all of Chandler's clothes.
You know the one.
Okay, buddy boy, here it is. You hide my clothes, I'm wearing everything you own.
Oh my God! That is so not the opposite of taking somebody's underwear!
Look at me, I'm Chandler. Could I be wearing any more clothes? Maybe if I wasn't going commando.
That's my favorite. And then, you know, the lunges, and no, it's just a whole scene. That is your daily catch-up. We talked to Billy Martin recently, who is kind of the lead guy, the lead volunteer with this extreme makeover Fort McMurray thing happening, all for the Morgan family, also that Lily Morgan can have a beautiful, safe place to live, that the air is going to be clean inside. It has taken an entire village to raise this house.
It's incredible. 100 businesses, hundreds of volunteers have all come on board. You can follow along in Extreme Makeover Fort McMurray Edition, and they're just working around the clock to...
Yeah.
Get this done. The family now is in Florida, and they'll be back for the grand reveal next week.
Which is, I mean, I can't wait for the move that bus moment. You know what I mean? Where Ty is, oh no, wait, Ty's not here. No, but Billy's going to be there. And yeah. Like so many other people, I just saw an update from the middle of the night last night. That's the best part. Any time of day you can go onto this group and find out what's going on, because it's taking like 24 hours a day to do this. They said that the framing for the rebuild of this house was just way beyond what anybody who agreed to come do this expected, which could have thrown off the schedule by weeks, would have ruined the big reveal when they come back from vacation. But no, he says they're a couple of hours behind schedule, and that's it, because everybody, shoulder to shoulder, put their shoulder to the wheel and got it done, apparently.
Fort McMurray always shows up in times of need.
And I just have to say, if you're looking for a little construction, a little help with a little work here and there around the house, around the property, might be a good place to start digging for some people, because these are fine folks that are helping out on this project. It's awesome, and I can't wait for the big reveal later this month.
The greatest moments from last week's morning show on Mix 103.7.
Big talk of the community today is about the big flash that just about everybody, except for Steve Reeve, saw yesterday. Totally left out. But... we figured that maybe we would get some expert information about what went on in our skies yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So joining us is Chris Hurd. He is a professor at the University of Alberta, also a meteor expert. So what was that big flash that many of us saw across the sky last night?
Well, it's most likely a fireball. From what I understand from the reports and some video that I have seen, it looks like it flashed a couple of times. Some people reported seeing some colors. That's a rock from space that's come through and broken up as it's come through the atmosphere.
Broken up is the big thing that people are kind of questioning. We've had some comments saying that people have this urge, this desire to go and hunt for it and find it, but that's probably going to be an unlikely feat to accomplish, right?
I think so. The ideal situation is to have multiple observations from cameras that are set up to do this. We're still checking to see what cameras have captured it. Unfortunately, we have a new camera system that we're just deploying from the University of Alberta, but we have one that we just set up at Athabasca, but it missed it, unfortunately. The thing that people need to remember is that the sky is a big place, and it can be quite an optical illusion to think that it fell just over there when it could be actually several hundred kilometers away. So especially if you have just one observation and it's a bright light a flash in the sky, it's going to look like it's closer.
Is there a way to tell how far it actually traveled?
There is, yeah. With enough observations, the idea is to triangulate it. So if you have observations from different angles from the ground, then you can figure out it's passed through the atmosphere. And typically they start to glow at about 70 kilometers altitude, and then they stop glowing. What's happening is the rock has friction with the atmosphere because it's going so fast. It's coming in at like 60,000 kilometers an hour. And it's slowing down with the friction of the atmosphere and breaking up. The rock itself's breaking up. It's glowing on the outside because of that friction. But then when it gets to the end point, or we call the terminal point, it's actually slowed down quite a bit. But that end point could be as much as 15 or 20 kilometers altitude still. So depending on the angle that it's coming in, it can keep going, right? In dark, what we call dark flight, because it's dark, it's dropping like a rock, literally, the rest of the way to the ground. And so we don't really know exactly where that is.
Usually when meteorites are found, it's not so much following the trail as it is just kind of discovering the impact, as I understand it.
That's right. It's usually sort of by chance people have come across an odd rock or something like that. Yes, that's right. Yeah. But we're getting better, I think, at doing this, at figuring out where the rocks come down. And I'm looking forward to having, unfortunately, like I said, we're not quite set up yet, but I'm looking forward to having more of a network set up where we can more easily figure out where something might have come down.
Okay, so if you want to report what you have seen, Chris gave us a few links. The first one is uqac.ca. Click over to Fireball and you can report which ones you've seen. And then there's the other one, amsmeteors.org. And you can actually go to the day and see from yesterday all the different reports from all over Northern Alberta that people have put in already.
As I keep repeating, because it's crushing my soul, I kind of missed it, the entire situation. So I only had comments to go on. It's really fun to see people saying, like, I thought it was this. I thought it was that. I want to go find it. I think that it is impossible to find. All of the above. It made us wonder here at Mixed Mornings what it might be like if there was one of those, you know, ghost hunter shows, but specifically about trying to find meteors. What would that be like?
Meteor Hunters.
We've descended on Fort McMurray, Alberta, where, according to reports, a meteor touched down just yesterday, and we're hot on the trail.
Before we strap on the self-warming boots and trek out into the boreal forest in search of the meteor, we got to know some of the locals and listen to their experiences.
My daughter and I saw it. I thought it was a streetlight blown out, but she swore it was a firework.
We saw it coming into downtown. Looked like it would have hit in the Grayling Terrace area if it didn't disintegrate.
Well, thank God it was a meteor. I thought I was getting a speeding ticket driving through Beacon Hill.
I want to find it. I know it's impossible, but it'd be so cool. Saw the flash, though I thought it was a camera.
But you can't find it, because that's our job.
Meteor Hunters.
We're now in hour 9 of our hunt. We've watched the videos and figured out the general direction to head based on where people pointed on the horizon. And so far, nothing.
Have we ever actually found any of the meteors that we've hunted? No. Have we ever enlisted any help from actual experts who hunt meteors for a living? No. Is my mother still upset about the wasted money spent on tuition for 3 years of post-secondary education just so I could start this show? Yes. But it's all part of the thrill of being a meteor hunter.
Speaking your hunters.
See, that could be a show, right? TLC, I'm looking at you. Back to a simpler time, January 23rd, 1998. That's when a very important film came out that shaped the cinema landscape for decades to come. That would be, of course, the release of Spice World. In fact, as a celebration of the 20th anniversary, although admittedly it is a day early on the 22nd of January, at VIP theaters for Cineplex across the nation, one night only, they are putting this movie back in theaters. Unfortunately, that's nowhere near close to home, so if you're on a trip, you're heading out of town, you're gone for the weekend, you might want to stay where you're at a little bit longer for the Monday screening of Spice World for fantastic moments, like when they joined the army, or when they had a fashion shoot where they're dressed up as each other, or when they met an alien. Or perhaps the best part in the entire film, in the cinematic masterpiece, the part where they try to deliver a baby aboard their double-decker spice bus that's kind of like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. It's much bigger on the inside.
Okay, deep breathing, that's the thing. Not you, Victoria, her. Right, does anybody know how to deliver a baby?
Don't look at me.
Don't worry, I know all about home delivery.
Yeah, right.
Well, I read it in a book. Okay, the first thing to do is, put your legs together.
Well, that's a bit late. You should have done that 9 months ago.
Research at the Johns Hopkins University is proving promising in the battle to detect cancer as early as possible. This is very great news. A newly developed blood test can screen for 8 common forms of the disease and even indicate location. Of course, there's no newly developed blood test technology, so still bad news for people who are afraid of needles. Sorry, guys. Adam Levine, he almost pooped a shooter when his child Dusty Rose was born, but wasn't necessarily out of fear. According to the story, Carson Daly warned Levine that he may be a fainting father if he doesn't eat before his wife goes through labor, and that led to a nervous pig-out session and an uncomfortable birth for both parents. But the truly discomforting part of the story is anyone taking advice from Carson Daly. I mean, I feel like that's wishing with a monkey's paw. You just don't do it. Everybody knows that. And finally, a story for the 90s kids. It looks like the TV network Freeform is rebooting Party of Five in 2018, which is just thrilling news for the party of about five people who would care about watching that show in 2018. That's your daily catch-up.
More of the greatest moments from the Mix Morning Show on the way.
Special guest in studio with us. Good morning to Tom Kekka, coach with the McMurray Oil Barons.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a bright and early morning. But not bright yet, I guess so. Hockey's an early game, though.
It is.
You're no stranger.
Crack it on.
You guys have all kinds of stuff happening. Okay, game tonight versus Brooks Bandits.
The Brooks Bandits, the reigning AJHL champions, are in town.
You guys are right up there too. So I mean, this is like
we're trying to keep pace with the Titans. We are.
It's going to be fantastic. And then tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, Minor Hockey Week is on, so kids can if they're on a team, wear your jersey.
Exciting time. Minor hockey is a great week where it's competition. The kids like to have a lot of fun. So we play the Camrose Kodiaks. So any minor hockey participant, wear your jersey. You get free admission. You can come in and hopefully watch some great AJHL action.
Just that simple. And then you're going to have some people in real tight jerseys shaving their mustaches off, being like, me too. Can I get in for free?
Yeah. We'll check ID at the door.
Yeah, there you go. And the Dream Home is on too. So tickets are on sale for a little while yet, but people have to act fast.
Yeah, we do. We have one of our cutoff dates is January 28th for our second early bird prize, which is $50,000.
It's a lot of coin.
50 smackarooskies. And the draw is going to be on February 14th. Easy day to remember. Yeah. You and I were talking Valentine's Day. So you can either buy something extra special for that someone in your life, or you can go on a trip.
Either for two or for one.
Or for
right?
one, yeah.
Or for one. Yeah. Oh, man, that would be a very unhappy Valentine's Day. But $50,000 going out, and then the home itself being drawn in March.
In March, March 3rd. So the cutoff is February 18th. The draw date is going to be March 3rd on our very last weekend against Whitecourt. It's close to a $1.1 million home. It's beautiful, as you and I had talked about. Yeah. Not only that, but there are other prizes. We're giving away, a snowmobile, a Harley, another vehicle. But, the best thing about Fort McMurray is that this is such a great place to play junior hockey. We've got the best fan support that we could ask for. However, this is our opportunity now to ask for the community support,
right?
Because this is our biggest fundraiser as an organization. I mean, the one thing when we're recruiting players to come to Fort McMurray, we tell them is we can't control geography. We are where we are. We travel as much as we have the highest travel costs of any team in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. So, you know, one of the ways that we help not only offset travel costs and operation costs of our organization is this Dream Home. So we're asking politely for our fans to say, you know what, I know that you support the team by coming out to all of our home games and we buy the apparel, which is all great and we love it. The most important thing for us is please go out, buy a ticket. You know, they're $100 for one ticket. You can buy three for $250. The other aspect of the Dream Home lottery is also the take home 50-50, which is a guaranteed, I believe it's $136,000. So guaranteed money in your pocket. So again, for all of our loyal fans, we thank you so much for the support we get throughout the year, but this is our last push. Hopefully we can sell it out or sell as many tickets as we possibly can.
Oh, absolutely. That's the goal. That's the hope. And it blows my mind every year. I say it, the cash 50 bonuses, it's ridiculous to me because it's usually with contests, it's like you could get this much money or this much money, whichever one is smaller.
Yeah.
With this, it's guaranteed amount or 50, like $136,500, or you can get yourself 50% of the sales, whichever one's higher.
I know, I could use that money.
I know, it's it boggles my mind. And you're not lying about being almost $1.1 million. I mean, that's less than $5,000.
And it's a beautiful home. I think, you know, if you got an opportunity, swing by. We have open homes. You can buy tickets, you know, right at the home or online, you know, at oilbarons.com. But it truly is one of the nicest homes that I think we've had in a very long time.
I fell in love with it. We got to talk more about it as long as you got some time this morning. But
definitely.
241 Diamond Stone Ridge is where you can find the actual show home. And, of course, online at oilbarons.dreamhome.ca. We'll talk more with Coach Tom Kekka in just a moment. We're joined by Tom Kekka this morning, coach of the McMurray Oil Barons, with games tonight, tomorrow, and a ton leading into next week. And at each game, people are going to get that reminder. The Fort McMurray Oil Barons are selling Dream Home tickets.
Our big fundraiser.
Yes, biggest one of the year, and tickets are on sale for a while yet, but if you get in before January 28th, then you're in before the Early Bird 2 draw, which is $50,000.
$50,000.
Holy cow. And it's all about helping out the McMurray Oil Barons. Like as you were saying before, it's a big ask, you know, so much is done for the community by the McMurray Oil Barons, and, you know, now asking people to, if you've got that jingle in your pocket, reach in there, grab a ticket, maybe $100. You're winning big.
$100. That's all it takes.
Exactly. Let's dive into it, though. What does the McMurray Oil Barons, you know, what do they do in the community?
We try and stay as active as we can. When we're recruiting players to Fort McMurray, we say we're not only going to hopefully develop you as a good hockey player, a better person as well. So since we're a community-owned team, we rely not only on our great sponsors and our volunteers, but we rely on the community to support us. So we're heavily involved, whether it's minor hockey, every day from Monday to Thursday at 4:15, we run development ice. We're involved with schools. We go into schools and do reading programs and hot lunch programs and all that. We're involved with Project Keep Straight, which is an initiative started by the RCMP, where we send four boys out to Vancouver and they come back in and do presentations. We're involved with the Snow Angels. So we have three homes where our guys go and shovel snow for the senior citizens. We're involved with as much as we possibly can. We sponsored the 3-on-3 tournament this year at Christmas time, which was a huge success. We're involved with the craze, you know, for New Year's Eve. So we really try and get our players out into the community as much as we can, as our schedule allows us, because we feel that it gives them the experience. So when they're here in Fort McMurray, again, you know, it's tough to sometimes get players here, but once they come to Fort McMurray and they see the support and they see everything that we do, they love being here. And nobody wants to leave, and a lot of players stay here. They get jobs here after their junior careers are done. So really, it's a win-win for our community.
Yeah, it's not a surprise at all to hear that. And I mean, it's a little bit of a surprise to hear all of the different ways that you guys are involved in the community, because I'm like, when do you guys have time to practice, play hockey, right?
And you know what? And whether it's the flu campaign or whether it, you know, November was Family Violence Month, we do honestly try and accommodate as many people. So if you want to reach me at coach@oilbarons.com and you have a community initiative that you think that the Oil Barons could help out with, please send me a line. I read them all, and we try and honestly help out. Now, we can't do every single one.
Of course.
But we do try and stay as involved as we can, because we rely on the community for their support. And this is one of the times of the year now, as we hit into that home stretch for that Dream Home, we're asking for the community's help.
only asking people to try and get themselves a $1.1 million
home for a $100 ticket. You can't win if you don't have a ticket. If you got a ticket, if you have one ticket, your chances are good. But if you buy three tickets for $250, your chances are even better. And I think there's only 24,000 tickets printed in total, so it's not like it's some astronomical amount. So your chances are pretty good. But again, you cannot win if you don't have a ticket. So please help us out by stopping by the Dream Home. Come by the games this weekend, which is even better for us. Get a ticket, and hopefully your name is pulled on March 3rd as the winner of the $1.1 million home, Dream Home.
Fantastic, beautiful home. My favorite one in the last 5 years, 241 Diamond Stone Ridge. And it's just like, we all know the saying, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
So grab yourself a ticket. Strange world we live in today, and I can't wrap my head around whether, I mean, is it a positive thing? Is it just a sign of the times? Is it a negative? I don't know. You just tell me, you form your own opinion on this new app called Legal Fling. Let me explain. This is a Dutch startup that is launching an app that is kind of spurred on. I mean, it's inspired by new laws, new legislation in Sweden specifically, where they're saying you are going to require explicit consent before sexual activity. Explicit consent. People are thinking maybe that means like legally binding consent. You're not exactly going to have a contract, but with this app, it's like the next best thing, apparently. Legal Fling allows you to set your boundaries, set what you're expecting to experience, and what you are expecting to not experience, and then both people have to agree on that before you go, okay, yeah, let's get down. Let's do this thing. Seems a little awkward. Seems like planning, seems like way too much planning for what it is, but at the same time, I mean, it's going to protect both people. I don't know. I guess you could just spin it like this. You're going to be just like Christian Grey with your contract. It's just you're not going to be quite as creepy, and you're going to be probably more boring. Let's admit it. If you're going to be figuring this out ahead of time, you're going to be talking, making plans, it's probably going to take the excitement factor down just a little bit. But again, no surprises down the line, especially if you're being safe in more than one way. Let us know how you feel about this Legal Fling app starting up.
Just like cold pizza, it's better the second time around. The best of the Mix Morning Show on Mix 103.7.